A big hello to everyone who's listening, and welcome to the very first episode of our Reading Cove podcast, where a few group members will be getting together to discuss the current month's pick. And for January, we're chatting about The Winter Rose by Jennifer Donnelly. So let's start with an introduction. I'm Millennia, the co-founder, and I live in Florida.
And my name is Cheryl, and I am a co-moderator of the Reading Cove, and I live in Tucson, Arizona.
Cool. And welcome, Cheryl.
Welcome to you.
I'm so excited to add this dimension to our group. It's awesome. Even though we're still going to have our usual email discussion, I'm very excited that, you know, this is a real enhancement to our discussions.
I would really like to see this monthly, and I would also like to see as we continue that more of our members join us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they won't be as shy after they hear us talking and everything. And, you know, join in the discussion and enjoy it as well as we do.
Well, maybe so. I mean, it's not for everybody. And that's fine. And so, but yeah, from month to month, hopefully we'll have a few more people. But even if it's just me and you, that's cool.
That's cool. I love to dish, man.
Yes, we could dish. So I do want to give a disclaimer before we get into the book talk.
Sure.
We are speaking freely about the book, and spoilers abound. They'll be all over the place. So this isn't intended for people who are trying to decide if they want to read The Winter Rose or any other books we discuss in the podcast. So if you haven't read the book, please hit stop, go read it, and then, you know, download this or bookmark us and come back and listen to it later. We don't want to spoil anything for you. Okay, so The Winter Rose is our 122nd pick. It was chosen by Nancy. She's a longtime member. She's not with us today, but we love you, Nancy. And I can't believe we've read 122 books.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I've been with the book, the club almost 8.5 years now.
Yeah,
and
it's
I'm
amazing.
Like really flipping out. Like, wow, I've been with you guys so long.
8 years.
And I think I've been moderator for six to seven years now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really, it's just a love that I have for your concept and creating this, reading group and sharing and being able to rip apart books that we really, really enjoy or hate or, you know, think is average. And I couldn't do this with a lot of other friends. So it was really nice.
Well, I love it too. It's definitely a great hobby of mine and a great passion. And it's amazing. And I'm so excited. Sometimes I'll be reading the pick and I wish I could pick the phone up and call somebody that I know is reading it too and talk about it. Really. So this is going to be so much fun. So anyway, let's get right into it.
Yeah, sure. Well, The Winter Rose, of course, is the second in a trilogy by Jennifer Donnelly. And it began with the Tea Rose, the story of Fiona and her family and how her family was lost. And she wanted revenge on the Tea Rose, became her own business person after moving to New York, came back and got her revenge on the person who killed her father and destroyed her family. And this is the continuing story, only it focuses more on her brother Charlie, who is aka Sid Malone. And we find Sid as a villain, technically in many eyes, but he's actually a very good, loving person. And he does things to help people, even though he's a thief. He's stealing from the people who destroyed his family.
He's like a modern-day Robin Hood.
Yes, exactly. And I really enjoyed that about him. And he is very much wanted, and Fiona wants to be in touch with him. And she tries to find him in various ways and warn him, you know, that, you know, this despicable person who is part of the House of Parliament in the, I guess the judicial era, their type of politics at that time. We're talking early 1900s in England. And he's very despicable. He's looking for money. He's engaged to someone and he's trying to derail or what would you say, redirect her life by plotting with her family to get her to marry him.
And I have to tell you, speaking about Fiona and her hunt for Sid or Charlie, I thought that was, it got on my nerves. I just really thought she was going, I was with Joe. She was way overboard and it just seemed counter to anything that made any sense after a while, especially when, after what he did to the detective that came looking, how he broke his arm or whatever. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Will you just drop it? He doesn't want to be found. I was so with Joe on that.
Well, I think if I remember correctly, it wasn't actually Sid who did it. I think it was Frankie who did most of the dirty. Was it Sid?
I think it was Sid who broke his arm.
Okay.
It was Sid.
Okay, because he really didn't get his hands dirty too much. And he just kept saying, tell Fiona to stay out of it. And Fiona was just too much of a person that, you know, cared and loved her brother and still looking after Simi. And she wanted her family back together.
I know, but it was beyond making any sense when she heard the kind of life he was living, the things he was doing. I understand that she believed in him and she knew his heart and mm-hmm. she couldn't forget, you know, their growing up together and all of that. I understand that. But at the same time, I think she was putting herself and her family in too much jeopardy.
Well, yeah, she did. I mean, look what happened, you know, even though Frankie didn't realize that, you know, Sid was actually Fiona's brother. And shooting, you know, Joe, trying to extort money and everything out of them and stop him from doing the things that he was doing. It was just really, really awful.
Yeah. Totally.
That was just a terrible tragedy, and Joe almost didn't make it.
That I was shocked when that happened. My jaw hit the floor. I could not believe that he went in there and shot Joe twice.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to die. I was like, it was so emotional.
Well, I mean, he was in a coma for so long and so ill, you know.
I know.
Just like when Sid fell into the pier and ended up with the sepsis and everything.
Yeah, I noticed that there's such parallels with the books, like with the Tea Rose. Fiona had a, you know, first marriage, and mm-hmm. then she got with Joe. And in this one, India married Freddie, which I have to say, I felt was the thing that killed the book for me, that completely took away any credibility the storyline had. Because after India found out what Freddie was like, after she found out what the lengths he went to lose her job, and, you know, that he was messing around with these whores and, you know, she just realized he was very, very two-faced and not the kid that she grew up with anymore. And I don't think she would have considered him a viable option anymore, especially, let me stress, especially because she was pregnant with Sid Malone's kid. Anybody else's kid? Maybe. But Sid's kid, and she's expecting Freddie, who made it his life's work to take this man down, she expected him to raise this baby as his own. I was just like, no way. It was too contrived for me. There's no way.
I thought it was poetic justice, though.
No way. She shouldn't have been surprised at what happened. I mean, it was like, duh. When he left them in that pit, I was like cheering. I was just like, see, you idiot. How could you? You know, it didn't make any sense for her to go to her parents, who she'd been estranged from. She goes to them, asks for their help to get him to marry her. No, she could have found a dock worker on the dock who would have taken the money and married her so she wouldn't be ashamed. You know what I mean? Or she could have hightailed it to California then. That's what I thought she would have done. And just said, oh, my husband died on the ship. Or, you know, my husband's coming. Just like she did in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
But,
just didn't make any sense to me.
It was just the simple fact that, you know, she was carrying Sid's baby. He didn't know it. And I think she was just hoping that, you know, because he's so adamant about capturing Sid, that she wanted to stay with him.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
No.
I was really upset the way he took her, you know, and kind of like guilted her into marriage and then took her, you know, with no passion or anything like that.
Oh, you mean and, the first time they had sex?
Yeah.
I was dying. I was cracking
the
up.
Thoughts going through his head. I'm like, oh.
He cracked me up. I love that scene. I really did. I was a little disappointed that he ended up being her first. It would have been nice if Sid was her first, but I can swallow that. It's cool. I really like that scene. Yeah. I was just cracking up when he was like, men have worked harder than this for 20,000 pounds a year.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think you was her first true love though.
And, look what he did to him.
The fact that Freddie was that conniving, even back then when he followed India, meeting him and then deciding, you know, he was disgusted and then did all these things to get him out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and this is when he was 17, 18 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Freddie was crazy, it seems, because he felt this portrait of his great ancestor was talking to him. And
yes,
he was, you know, intent.
Earl.
Yes, the Red Earl was talking to him, and he was intent on becoming, you know, the Prime Minister of England.
Right, and then killing his father at the age of 12.
Yeah, I mean, well, that I understand, because his father was very abusive. I understand the soil he grew out of and why he became the way he became, but it still doesn't excuse his treachery.
Right, but I mean,
he knew he was being very, very, very nasty and vindictive and manipulative and killing people.
That's where it came from. And that's where he thought, oh, I'm going to rule and I'm going to be just like my ancestors. And, you know, that's how he just got along with his life.
I like how he struggled with, the cutting out his heart and, you know, not feeling anything. Sometimes he did feel guilty about some of the things he was doing to India, and I like that part because it balanced him out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't buy the turning point in the plot when she decided to go to all this trouble to marry him so that she wouldn't, you know, her child wouldn't be a bastard. I mean, I get that it was a certain time and she needed to marry somebody,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't think that she wasn't an idiot. I mean, she was a bit naive about the condition of the poor. She was naive about the condition of the poor. And I liked how Sid, you know, kind of educated her and showed her and rounded out her view of poverty and why people are poor and stuff like that, that it's not always their own fault. And so I like that. And she mm-hmm. was naive about Freddie too. I mean, because mm-hmm. she just had this rose-colored view of him up until the point when she found out he lost her job. But I don't think she was that dumb that she would have taken Sid's kid and made him raise it as his own. I mean, what kind of life was she putting this child in? And look what ended up happening.
Yeah,
to Charlotte.
I understand that. But at the same time, like, I just answered one of Nancy's questions
mm-hmm.
at the Cove. And... you know, they're talking about who were the feminists in the book,
mm-hmm.
and India wasn't a feminist. India had goals and dreams, where she just tried to do the best that she could, and she wanted to help other people. She kept her mouth shut as far as, you know, political ways and listening to her boss and whatnot, but she really wasn't driven as equal rights or anything like that. So, I mean, she was just looking to take care of her daughter and not have a bastard child as well.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think for her to become a doctor at the time that she did, there had to be, even if she wasn't a labeled feminist, but there was a drive in her to be equal with men. And to be taken seriously and treated accordingly by the people. You know, like when she first started practicing the medicine, there were patients who were like, please get me a real doctor. What are you? You know, I don't want a nurse. I want a doctor. And,
and
stood her ground. She was very strong in that regard. And you had to be. You couldn't be waify and in this time and become one of the first doctors of the time. So she had to have
that
strong backbone. But I don't know that I would say she wasn't. She just wanted to be Susie Homemaker. No, I don't think so.
No, she didn't want to be Susie Homemaker. And I think the reason why she went into medicine, actually, was because of Bea.
Of Hugh.
Hugh's sister.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that's what she wanted to do, is to help people and to help the poor. And her family just did not like that at all, and that's what drove her out of the house. But she was extremely naive. She was very smart as far as becoming a doctor and achieving her dreams, and even, you know, getting her clinic through Wish, you know, investing in his properties and everything. It's just that she was extremely naive about how people are, and how men can be so condescending and so vile and vicious at that time.
I did not care for that at all. Once it went into that part three, after she married Freddie,
yeah,
the whole thing was sour for me. It was just crazy. And all the coincidences. I feel like so much effort went into syncing things and getting everybody in Africa at the same time and syncing situations so that things would happen at the same time. And if all that effort had been put into keeping the story, you know, staying true to the character of India and the credibility of the story, I think it could have been a Gone with the Wind epic from in my book. You know, it would have been,
mm-hmm,
these characters could have gone down in history, you know, but
yeah,
instead you have that you're left feeling like, oh my God, like I wrote in the group, I wrote that I just felt wrung dry. Like I'd been on this journey and it started off all exciting. And then, you know, now I'm just, you know, dragging my bags behind.
Yeah, I mean, and Freddie leaves them in the pit. And I thought Brenda had made a comment about that. You know, all he did was get eaten by hyenas. Hello? I mean, he deserved a hell of a lot more than that.
He needed to be taken back to Britain to face the music. I'm sorry. That,
yeah,
hyena,
exactly.
Thing, I agree with Brenda 100%. The eaten by hyenas was way too good for him.
Yeah,
it was,
exactly.
To me, it was like a cop-out. It was like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, yeah. He should have been taken back to England and shown the person that he was. And
been made to face the music, an answer to all these people he killed. My heart stopped when he killed Wish. I liked Wish.
Wish was adorable.
I was like gasping.
And even Gemma. I mean, I think he was really, really pissed off.
Oh,
when,
I didn't like Gemma.
He
killed
to
her.
To find out that she was sleeping with Sid Malone.
Yeah.
And Sid was her new daddy. And that really, really, really spawned even more from Freddie. And then to go and kill her as well. I just didn't see the sense of them going to Africa.
He killed her because she, you know, he got enraged because she wouldn't give him the address to the apartment where Sid and India were meeting.
Right.
And so he really didn't plan to kill her at all. And it's just showing how he started to just come apart at the seams. He was losing his mind completely now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the same thing had happened with India, though, too, especially after losing and getting beaten up by the Colburns, Mr. Colburn.
I know. That was horrible.
That was really, really awful that, you know, she lost two patients,
yeah,
which, you know, and she had only just lost her first one in the hospital when Sid was leaving. And, you know, she felt so devastated. She knew this could have been prevented. And then to have the husband beat her up,
yeah,
was really, really just startling. And at the same time, she was finding out all about what was going on with Freddie and what Freddie was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That happened during and after all this, you know, beating.
I think that happened just after, because when she took to her bed, Freddie and Emma, was it? Or Ella. Freddie and Ella were the ones who were coming and looking after her and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So she found out about, she lost the job, you know, after that, because Freddie, you know,
Freddie turned her in.
Yeah, paid this girl to pretend and, you know, give her away, which I just thought, once she found that out, he would have been just dead in his boots.
Right.
She would never have gone back to him. I mean, she could have found anybody, any single man, to offer some money, offer a dowry, and marry me so that, you know, I'm not, my kids got a father. You know, I just thought that sucked. And back to what I was saying before about the parallel.
Uh-huh.
With the tea rose, it seems like maybe it, you know, the author was trying to contrive it a bit to parallel the fact that Fiona also had a previous marriage, and now India had to have a previous marriage too before she and Sid finally were able to get together, and that's where I think it went wrong, because I feel like it could have been so much better if she had either found someone else to marry. Freddie could have still been a problem in the plot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or if she had gone over to America, to Wish's land.
Instead of just settling.
Instead
everything.
Of, you know, going to him. And look what poor Charlotte had to endure.
But, you know, I mean, she wasn't going to go back to her parents, and she knew that Freddie had the dowry already.
And I also have to say.
And I think that's why she did that.
What's her name? Charlotte. She was awfully, awfully intelligent for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
I was
know.
Like, what the hell? I mean, I've never heard of a 5-year-old who talks like she's like 5 going on 35.
Yeah, I know.
She's
it was
really... way too smart. I'm sorry. Way too intelligent for a 5-year-old.
Yeah. And also the time span and everything too. I'm like, wow, you know, so many years had disappeared. You know, because now she's in her 30s and everything, and I kind of felt gypped at the end. Because, and this probably could have been a second book, she did go to Wish's Land. She waited every month, year, whatever, every weekend for Sid to show up.
Yep.
And it took so long for him to get there. And I really felt lost.
Well, I
didn't know what his journey was.
She'll probably address that in the next book, The Wild Rose.
Well, that is actually Seamus and his girlfriend.
True, but she'll probably, just like she had Fiona and Joe in this one, she'll probably have them on the side and probably explain, you know, Sid will tell his story about where he was and what happened. But I'm not really interested to read The Wild Rose because I don't need that happening to me again. Honest to God, I do not want to be let down like that again. So you can tell me. I am curious about Sid
how
in India.
So
when you read it, tell me what happens with Sid in India and the Wild Rose. But I don't.
But yeah,
think
I
I'm
could
gonna
do that.
Read it.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna read it.
It's gonna come out in August, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like all excited about it and everything too. I'm like, wow, that'll be cool, because I had read this over 2 years ago, and she's, you know, yeah, it's still gonna be a little. Well, in fact, she released another book before. She released The Wild Rose.
Yeah, I think she writes young adult books.
Yeah, Revolution, I think, is the name of the book as well. And A Northern Light is also a young adult book, which I still haven't gotten a hold of. But I do enjoy her reading, her writing, and I like the history behind everything.
Yeah.
Which is one thing that I really enjoy. I mean, my favorite genre is absolutely mystery thriller. But you guys have turned me on so much to historical fiction that, I mean, I was answering another question of Nancy's. What did I know about the 1900s? Which I didn't know a lot about England, but medical-wise, I knew a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And just the war, you know, not the war, as far as Ireland being under England's reign at the time. I thought that was very interesting. Ireland was, you know, completely different, you know, country,
mm-hmm.
but they were under English rule.
Right.
And Freddie was trying to let them rule on their own. That was one of his motions, and actually reap the rewards as opposed to, you know, getting their wool and their milk and stuff like that, as opposed to being in Africa, you know, mm-hmm. for... gold and diamonds and stuff like that.
And I just feel like we got so much politics in this story. There was so much politics and information about the political scene and what Freddie was involved in and what Joe was involved in. And I just feel like to have him end up in the desert and get ripped apart by hyenas was really a, it really, really did me as a reader a disservice, because he should have gone back and faced the music in his political platform.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And been arrested and thrown in jail and been disgraced. That would have been satisfying. And Brenda also made a statement that I agree with about, if you're going to, you know, make the reader read on and on, at least make it satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you love the book, and a lot of people did, but for me, that's why I couldn't love it, because I just felt like, no.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a political junkie, and you know that.
I know.
But it's just a simple fact that, you know, what really stopped it from being like a really A-plus read for me was the fact that I was disappointed in, you know, Sid / Charlie's journey to India. You know, at the end, it took him so long to get there. And
you would have liked to know what...
I would have wanted it, but that probably would have been another book. I mean, this book was 700 pages.
Exactly.
And for her to delve into that, I mean, maybe she should have gotten rid of the Africa stuff and, you know, just addressed his
that
journey
part.
To her.
And I agree with you. I think, well, I still wouldn't have forgiven it for the her marrying Freddie. I think that's where it cut for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I think there was just, it was just, you know, pride that she wouldn't go back to her parents.
She didn't have to. She went back to them for help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she didn't have to go back to live there. She could have gotten their help to find another eligible man who would have taken some money.
Look at her mother, you know, pushing her on Freddie.
Her mother just wanted, you know, to carry on the aristocrat life, you know,
right.
and cut out this whole trying to be like a man thing, because that's how her mother viewed it. Oh, you want to be a doctor? Stop trying to be like a man.
Yeah,
her mother thought it was butch, you know, it's like, stop it.
Yeah, but her mother didn't know the lengths that Freddie was going to.
No, but Freddie could have been anyone, because, like,
yeah.
The mother was threatening Freddie with that. She was saying, okay, if you can't get her married by, you know, I'm looking at my watch. If you can't get
That's
her married
true.
In 5 minutes, then I'll find somebody else. So she should have found somebody else.
Yeah, if she could have. I don't know if India would have accepted it, though.
India had no choice. She was willing to marry Freddie. With Sid's kid, again, with Sid Malone's kid.
Again, the she was naive, and she was looking out for her child.
She didn't do
you
a
know,
good
I
job.
Can,
that was a very
I can
silly
see that,
move.
Only because, you know, maybe because I'm a mother or something, but, you know, she was looking out for a child and looking for a better life for her child.
And I have to say, I really liked Ella. I thought she and her mom and their whole family was funny.
It was wonderful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And great, just what India needed, because, you know, her own family. Nancy posted a question about family in from the reading group guides, and I just think that, you know, she created a pseudo family with them.
Yeah, and she gave her a really good sense of family, as well as a bit of a backbone.
Yes,
and a sense of humor. As well.
Exactly.
It didn't seem like India had much of a sense of humor. And, you know, I kept laughing every time, you know, Ella said, oh my God, I think that's twice in 1 week you made a joke, you know.
I know, right?
It was just hysterical. And the fact that, you know, she was Jewish, a Jewish family, and it gave her a glimpse at a different culture. And how they mixed in the family, you know, or in the neighborhood, because, you know, so many people were of mixed descendants, but they were all Jewish,
right.
You know, Russians and whatnot. And they all spoke Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
And India had no idea what Yiddish was.
Right.
You know, which was really, again, naive,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just not knowing. You know, the other different religions and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave her a real good taste of Whitechapel.
Right.
As far as that was concerned. And then, you know, seeing the poverty stricken. And I think Ella also changed her mind about Sid and even Frankie and everybody, because they protected the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were true and good people to their people of their neighborhood.
Right, they took care of the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why it was hard for them to find anybody who would give them up. And that's
right.
Usually how it is with those underworld figures sometimes. They take care of their neighborhood so people won't, you know, rat them out to the police.
Well, even in the beginning, with the prelude, they talked about Lily White, was it, I believe, and how she had gotten off the streets because of Sid Malone.
Exactly.
You know, and
so you would
even
never
Frankie,
get anything out of her.
Right, and even Frankie. Frankie was a pickpocket.
Frankie was such an idiot. I have to say something quick about him. I mean, such a young, dumb hothead. When he went and burned down Joe's warehouse, I was like, what the F? what the F is wrong with you?
But again, you know, I mean, Sid said, no, you don't touch it. But he thought he was doing something good for Sid. And, you know, because he was lying in the hospital almost dying. And again, Frankie owed his life to Sid. But at the same time, he wanted to make Sid proud and he wanted to do something on his own to prove himself. You know, and yes,
Sid,
he was a hothead, too.
He wanted
you know,
to keep
but,
Sid in his life. He was afraid of losing him to a straight life. And then he couldn't see himself just being buddies with him if he was no longer into that life.
Yeah, well, Sid was his life, and because of his hot-headedness, I don't think he would ever be able to make it on his own as far as, you know, the way Sid made it, you know, as far as he controlled the gang and, you know, his little posse and whatnot. And he kept Frankie very well under his thumb until he was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, Frankie went off on his own, but he had no clue about what was going on or what, you know, the dimensions of it was that, you know, Joe happened to be his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And no, that's something he wasn't going to touch. He wasn't going to hurt Fiona. He wasn't going to hurt Joe. And, you know, to kill, I believe it was Art, the guard on top of it and the way he died.
Mm-hmm.
Was terribly horrible and painful.
Yeah.
You know, and it broke Joe, it broke Fiona.
Yeah.
And
that was really unfortunate.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we're hitting the over 30 minutes now, so let's were there any scenes that really stick out to you?
You know, I really was taken by the way when India was taking care of Sid in the hospital and how he was asking her to talk to her and, you know, she told him her life story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was delusional and he was calling out for Fiona. And I think that was a turning point as far as Sid Malone was concerned.
Right.
Trying to find his heart. He knew she was innocent. He knew and understood where she was coming from, but it was Ella that really turned India into, you know, liking Freddie Frankie and Sid more and understood them more and wanted to know them more.
Right. Any
you
other
know?
Scenes?
Actually, you know, just the fact at the end, the way India waited with her daughter every weekend. You know, for Sid to show up.
Yeah, I thought it was every day. I thought they were there every evening.
Was it every evening?
I think so.
I'm trying to remember. But just that thought, and you know, they go home after the sunset and everything, and I'm like, wow. You know, how many times did they do that, and how long?
For like a year. It seemed like it was over a year.
Yeah, and it just, you know, kind of like, you know, you're sitting there waiting for something that you're not even sure will ever happen.
Right.
That want and everything and how they missed him so much and everything was really, really very poignant to me.
Well, the scenes that stick out the most for me, I can't forget the scene with India going through the tunnel in the dark.
Yes.
With the rats. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I actually... I remember that from the Bone Collector, actually.
Oh my God. Thank God she had her medical bag with her because she would have just been toast otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. That
And
just like freaked me out.
the other scene that I can't forget when Wish died, when they all came and found that Wish had been shot in his face, half his face was shot off. I was just like, oh my
Yeah,
God.
yeah.
I had to put the book down at that point. I think I got online and typed up some spoilers because I was like, oh
You did. It
my
was hysterical, and you had to, you went through this emotional roller
I
coaster,
did.
and
I
then
was like, oh my God, I
you
gotta
go
put
through
this
all
down.
this, and then yeah, the Africa thing was a waste.
The whole Africa thing, the whole even Shamie and Willa's scenes, I was bored. I never when Shamie wasn't a part of India and Fiona's story, I had no interest whatsoever in him and Willa and this mountain climbing and whatever they do. I was so bored with them. That's
Well,
just me.
again, she's setting it up for the Wild Rose.
Yeah, that's why I'm not reading
Yeah.
it. Because I was so bored with them. It's not. And then she's l described as looking like a boy, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I can't even drum up some interest to be interested in their relationship at all. But
I really wasn't paying too much attention to Simi and Willis again because I know they're going to be addressed. I'm just hoping that she will address Sid's journey. I'm looking forward to that if she can. Please, please, Jennifer, I'm hoping you're listening, but it's probably already into publication. It's already been, yeah, it is done because I did check her site again. And the book is already turned in. So I hope, the vibes are going through.
Yes, Jennifer, if you're listening, I loved like about two to 250 pages. I could not put this book down. But the minute India married Freddie, it just lost credibility to me. I'm
Yeah.
so sorry. I would have loved if she had, gone a different route, and that just ruined the whole rest of the story for me.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It was a page turner because it's so rare for me lately to find a book that completely sucks me in and the pages are turning themselves.
I know.
And this happened with this book for, about 200 pages or 300 pages maybe. And that was great. So I'll take away that. I love it. And I just want to say before we shut off, because we gotta go now, but there was a line that I posted to the group that I think Maggie said to Sid when Maggie in Africa, when she was gonna help him escape. And she and Shamie were plotting how to get him out of jail, how to get Sid out. And she says the story has its flaws, but it's all we've got. And I think that's the perfect line to describe my feelings about the Winter Rose. It has its flaws, but it's all I've got. And that's it.
I guess I mean 'cause overall I really enjoyed it. It introduced it brought back Fiona and Joe. It introduced Simi and Willa. Again, I can't stress, Jennifer, you didn't complete the story with Sid's journey. But I really do hope that is addressed in the next book, and that we see them happy and living peacefully and happily, in
Yes.
California and everything.
And
And especially
so,
since Seamus is a traveler, I'm sure you're going to be seeing them in California.
yes, and they'll be climbing all the mountains nobody's ever climbed and going to the South Pole and the North Pole and all that crap.
Yeah, and
But
maybe see Alaska from their house.
hey, be nice. Don't bring politics into this. Okay, so
You
thanks
did
everyone.
it
Okay, I want to thank everybody for listening, who's been listening to us dish about The Winter Rose by Jennifer Donnelly. It's been fun. And stay tuned for next month's episode. We'll be discussing Flesh and Fire by Laura Ann Gilman.
Yes.
And maybe a few of the other Cove members will join us too, and we'll have another good time.
Yeah.
So
I just reserved it at the library, so hopefully, and one for Martina too. Hopefully,
cool.
Martina will join us when Katie gets her laptop and everything, because it's a little noisy at her house.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Have a good one.